Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, March 6th, 5:28 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed. May corn futures up a half cent at 4:26 and three quarters. May soybeans up a quarter at 11:49 and a quarter. May Chicago wheat down six and a quarter at 5:44 and three quarters. It'd be nice if it was six. May Kansas City wheat down nine at 5:60 and a quarter. May spring wheat down six and a quarter at 6:49 and a quarter. Let's start off with this biodiesel news.
Chevron, the second largest U.S. oil producer, has closed two biodiesel plants in the Midwest. The plants are located in Ralston, Iowa, and Madison, Wisconsin, and they were shuttered due to deteriorating economics for renewable fuels. The two plants had a combined capacity of processing 50 million gallons of biodiesel per year. A decline in the value of renewable credits and an uptick in supplies have caused biodiesel prices to decline in recent months. The decision to idle the plants comes only 2 years after Chevron purchased biodiesel maker Renewable Energy Group for $3.15 billion. Meanwhile, it's anticipated that the production of renewable diesel, which is also made from animal fats, will reach 230,000 barrels per day this year, up from 200,000 barrels per day in 2023.
Okay, I've got a few things to say about this. The first one is that diesel prices have fallen. So this B20 biodiesel blend has fallen along with the retail diesel. So you pair that with the decline in prices for the renewable credits as they relate to biodiesel, and it just turns into a non-profitable situation for Chevron, and that's why they have idled these plants. Now, you've got two different versions of diesel that are being made from soybean oil. You've got biodiesel, which is what this is, these two plants, and then you've got renewable diesel. And I think that the trend here is that we're going to move away from biodiesel and toward renewable diesel. What's the difference? Biodiesel, and that's the plants that are being shut down here. Biodiesel is more of like a blend. So you're going to blend, it's kind of like ethanol, like where we'll put 20% biodiesel and then maybe 80% traditional diesel into a blend and use it that way. Renewable diesel, which is the way that we're headed, I believe. Renewable diesel, you can take 100% renewable diesel. You can drop it into any diesel engine. No special engine or modifications are required. It adapts to cold weather better. It improves existing diesel engines' efficiency. This is from Phillips 66, the stuff I'm reading here. And maybe most importantly, the credits are better. The tax credits that you're going to get for renewable diesel are better. And I'm not an expert on this, but I called Pete Meyer yesterday to ask him about this. And he said, you know, it's not shocking. There is going to be a transition away from biodiesel to renewable diesel. And again, they're very different. Pete said, I don't want to put words into his mouth. He said, I wouldn't be, you know, shocked if at some point these plants that are being shut, these biodiesel plants, if they were converted to renewable diesel plants. And that's something that you could see down the road. There is a soybean crush facility in Ralston, Iowa, and it's run by Landis. They sent this out to their customers. They said, this closure has no impact to the Landis soy crush plant in Ralston. Our operations in Ralston are completely separate from Chevron Renewable Energy Group's nearby biodiesel facility. Our Landis facility in Ralston will continue to accept soybeans as usual. So for those of you guys in the area, I don't think it's going to have a big impact on soybean demand. Bigger picture, it just speaks to, I think, a transition away from this biodiesel, which is blended, to renewable diesel, which we can take 100% of it, we can drop it in an engine and make it work. So that's kind of the way that we're going, I guess.
USDA will release its monthly crop production and WASDE report on Friday morning. No major changes are expected on the U.S. balance sheets. Some minor demand revisions are possible. Traders expect the USDA to post a substantial reduction to its Brazilian soybean production estimate. The U.S. government's most recent estimate is well above estimates from Brazil's government and private groups.
This report should be a snooze fest. The bigger report is the prospective plantings report at the end of the month. The surveys for that are out right now. Farmers are in the process of filling them out. On the U.S. side, maybe you'll see some tweaks to the demand numbers. Shouldn't be anything real substantial. The South American production numbers, if anything, that's where you could see, I'm not even going to say a surprise, because I'll tell you what, when they inevitably reduce the Brazilian soybean production estimate, they go from 156 down to 153 or 152 or whatever. That's old news by the time it's printed. I just don't know how you get a big market mover out of this. The trade's aware that they're going to come down to Brazil. I think CONAB's going to be out next week. This is another Friday report, which you guys know I absolutely love. When I run the USDA, every report will be out at 7 a.m. Central on like a Tuesday. But in any case, yeah, I wouldn't look for any fireworks here. Bigger report at the end of the month.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. You're not going to find content like this anywhere else. Joe, can you tell me about yesterday's video?
Paul Nefer was on yesterday. We talked about crop insurance. Everybody's kind of getting their ducks in a row here. Can options replace crop insurance as it relates to price protection? That was one of the questions that we answered. We actually started off by going through the ARC PLC decision, some of the add-ons, your ECO, SEO, that sort of stuff. What are best practices this year? This was a good video. It's timely also because a lot of you guys are making these decisions right now. If you want to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. This is a $50 per month subscription. Cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. You'll get our 5 a.m. Central Time email. That email includes the 6 most recent premium videos, along with a whole bunch of other charts, graphics, information, all of our grain marketing recommendations. This is the best way to support what we're doing here, guys. We don't have any corporate backing. We don't have any sponsors. This thing is sponsored by our subscriber base, essentially, which is great. Premium subs, we love you guys. If you're not a premium sub, you should check it out. And also do us a favor. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. We'd love to get to 15,000 subscribers by the end of the month. We're at like 13,000 and a half right now, but I know about half you guys who watch are not subscribed. So hit the subscribe button and help us out there as well.
Australian wheat production is set to increase next season. Production is anticipated to climb 9% to 28.4 million tons during the 24-25 season due to improved weather. Excessive rainfall and above normal temperatures have hindered this season's crop. The crop is estimated at 26 million tons, down 36% from last season's bumper crop. Australia's overall grain production next season is slated to reach 51 million tons, 9% above the 10-year average. Despite an increase in production, Australian grain exports are projected to fall as domestic reserves are replenished and grain is used for animal feed.
Australia is projected to be the world's 5th largest wheat exporter this year. They export about the same amount as the United States. This is not a market mover. The reason why the wheat market sucks, and SRW futures, I think, posted fresh lows just overnight. There's a lot of cheap wheat coming out of the Black Sea, both from Russia and Ukraine, and it's kept a lid on global price action. That's your big story when it comes to wheat. Australia's going to have a little bit better crop, but that's not why the market's having trouble here. I think it's because of these cheap supplies coming out of the Black Sea.
Gold posted a fresh all-time high on Tuesday. Yesterday, gold rose by as much as 1.3% to $2,141.79 an ounce before giving back some of those gains. Since Thursday, gold has increased by more than 4%. Geopolitical concerns, expectations of monetary easing, and the rising risk of a stock market correction all contributed to the gains. Since the turn of the millennium, gold has increased by more than 600%. However, adjusted for inflation, gold is still below the high of $850 set in January 1980, which in today's dollars would be worth over $3,000.
This chart looks pretty friendly to me. Gold's only up 3% year to date. Over the last year, it's up 17.5%. I can't help but wonder if this is part of a larger scale, like US dollar or just paper currency debasement type trade. We know that we've had this chart and graphic before. The US dollar has lost 97% of its purchasing power in the last 100 years. And I think that you look around and a lot of things are really hot. Real estate's hot, the stock market's hot, the labor market is hot, yet the Fed wants to cut, and they want to cut this year. So there's a risk here that things get even hotter and potentially out of control. So this is something that we talk about with Jim Urio all the time. We're actually going to have a video that focuses just on this dollar debasement or fiat currency debasement story. I think it's going to be out on Monday, but I think that's part of the deal here. I do. There's just so many things that are acting so well and maybe curiously well. I think that the currency story here is something big picture. I do.
Bitcoin set an all-time high on Tuesday. The cryptocurrency increased 4% this week to briefly surpass its previous record of $68,800, which was set in November of 2021. Year over year, the cryptocurrency has increased by a whopping 175%. The SEC's recent approval of Bitcoin ETFs has fueled recent gains. Since the approval, Bitcoin has surged by 60%. The halving of Bitcoin, a procedure that limits the cryptocurrency's supply, is another factor driving prices. Halving is expected to occur here in April.
So it went up yesterday. It made a new all-time high. Then it peeled way back. And now it's back to like 67,000 early this morning. I think there's three stories here, I guess. The first one would be the dollar debasement story that I talked about. I think this is very much part of that. With most assets, if demand increases, supply can increase. For example, if you take a stock, if there's enough demand, they'll split the stock and they'll make more stock available. Even with gold, I mean, you think of gold as being more fixed supply, but guess what? If gold prices get good enough, there are gold miners who are in business who can still mine more gold. Bitcoin's not really like that. I mean, you got the halving coming up. There's a very, very scarce amount that's available to be purchased. So I think that that's part of it, the dollar debasement, the fixed part of it. The second one would be the halving. The third one would be the ETFs and the inflows from these ETFs from your BlackRock and everybody else. They've been enormous. And it's not BlackRock themselves necessarily that's buying the Bitcoin. It's their customers. So they're buying Bitcoin, you know, on behalf of their customers to support this ETF that they're doing. But pretty phenomenal stuff. And we're going to get into the weeds a little bit with Jim here in a couple of days on this dollar debasement story. What did cattle do yesterday?
Cattle futures were higher. Feeder cattle futures closed an average of $1.12 higher. Live cattle closed an average of 81 cents higher. Box beef had a down day yesterday. Choice ended the day at $304.79. That was down $1.51. And select ended the day at $294.87. That was down 30 cents.
Outside markets this morning, U.S. dollars off a little bit. Stocks are higher. Bonds off just a little bit. Crude oil is up 73 cents. And the May WTI at 78.14. Have a great day, guys. We will talk to you on Thursday.